Hello?
Hello, hello, Lloyd. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good, good, good. We're just starting off the selection that you made for us. Very, very kind for you to do that. The Eterna track entitled Learn to Love.
Took some time for me to realize it's alright to let love in my life again. And it took some time for me to finally get it right. Now I know I must first love myself. You see, when you have learned to appreciate yourself is when you can truly, truly love somebody else. You see, when you have learned to appreciate love yourself is then you can truly, truly love somebody else. I have learned to love me first. Learn to be happy with myself. You see, I have learned to love. Trust me first. Learn to be complete within myself. I'm in love with me, and it's not conceit, just the way it should be. Not afraid to express who I am. And honestly, it doesn't bother me to fit the category. Free to be me, so free, yeah. You see, when you have learned.
So Lloyd, can I formally welcome you to Reggae Space? I'm very glad you took time out to join us tonight.
Yes, it's good to be here.
Great, great. And Eterna, one of your favorite artists, did you say?
Absolutely. Yeah, one of my, you know, favorite in terms of the, what I would say, what I would describe as the new breed of reggae artists coming out of Jamaica over the last 5 or so years. Yeah.
Yes, yes. She's doing very well and has quite a sharp rise, you know, being widely recognized as one of the great artists out of Jamaica, as you say, the contemporary artist, yeah?
Yes, definitely so.
Okay, Lloyd, just to give people a bit of a flavor of who we're speaking to right now, your title is a lawyer and entertainment consultant. Is that the full title?
Well, yes, I think that would accurately describe what I do in terms of my activities in the legal field, representing, you know, various persons involved in the entertainment industry, as well as providing, you know, consulting services for the music business in particular.
Okay. And how early in your life did you make the decision that you wanted to go into law?
Well, I made the decision that I wanted to go into law just as I was about to leave high school.
Okay.
It wasn't something that I thought about doing, you know, when I was very young.
Right.
When I was about to leave high school, I had to make a decision as to what I would do in college.
Right.
And I just chose law. I really don't know why I did. I just chose law. I didn't want to go into the sciences or anything in business or economics or anything like that.
Okay.
So I just picked law. I think I made a good choice.
Yeah.
As it has turned out, you know, I managed to combine my first love with my practicing law. My first love is, of course, is music.
Right.
And along the way, I found a way to combine my love for music with my practice of law.
Right.
And it has worked out very well. You know, it wasn't something that I had planned on from when I was a kid or anything like that. So it just worked out that way, and I'm very happy. You know, there's nothing else that I would want to do, because I consider myself to just be having fun while I'm working, you know.
Right, right. And you schooled in Jamaica, is that right?
Say that again?
You schooled in Jamaica.
I went to University of the West Indies, right. Which is based in Jamaica, Barbados, and Trinidad.
Right.
So I spent some time in Barbados and some time in Jamaica to do my law degree.
Okay. So how many years does it take you to actually achieve your degree and start to what they call practice?
Well, in the Caribbean, the training program for lawyers through the university takes 5 years. You
okay.
have 3 years where you focus on getting a bachelor's degree in law,
yeah.
and then you have 2 years where you go to a practical sort of law school where you do some additional courses, but you also get exposed to some of the practical elements of the law. So it's a 5-year training program
right.
through the University of the West Indies. Yeah, so it did take me 5 years to become qualified.
Right. And you took to it well, you know, you're quite comfortable, you have the aptitude and the attitude that suits law, is it?
I'm not so sure about that, because, you know, most lawyers, or most people think lawyers are talkative,
right.
they love to argue.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those persons, I'm basically a very quiet person. But I managed to find a niche for myself, because I really like music.
Yeah.
And I found a way to combine my legal skills within the music industry.
Right.
That also allowed me to stay out of the courtroom, because I never did like that aspect of the law. You
oh,
know,
really?
Going into court and arguing cases and so on. You know, it's time consuming and it takes forever to get a result
right,
within
right.
the Caribbean court system.
I
so I don't do that. I'm more focused in my practice on dealing with, you know, issues to do with copyrights and other rights and the contracts that people get involved in, you know, throughout the entertainment industry.
I see.
And
yeah.
I say entertainment industry because I operate mostly in music, but I also have clients who are involved in film production that I represent.
Okay.
People who are involved in the media that I represent. But it's mainly the music industry that I am involved in.
Okay, okay. And you say you happen to be one of those lucky people that combined their love in private life with their work life, you know, the love of music and, I guess, reggae music in particular.
Right, yeah. I'm able to work at or in something that I'm also very passionate about, and that's the business of music.
Right.
So it's fun.
Just
you know, I wouldn't do anything else.
Just out of interest, where did this love come from, and who in particular, you know, was stimulating this love while you were growing up?
Well, I just used to love listening to music, you know, Jamaican music in particular.
Yeah.
And of course, growing up, you know, I listened to, you know, and was a serious, not was, still am, you know, a serious Bob Marley person, you know. But there are many others that as I was growing up, I was into their music, you know, Bob, Ken Booth, Alton Ellis, Toots, Burning Spear, Third World, Jimmy Cliff, the whole works.
Yes, yes.
I listened to all of those people growing up.
Okay.
I was very lucky when I just finished law school and I was practicing quote unquote regular law
okay.
for a couple of years. I through a friend of mine I met Sly Dunbar.
Okay.
and I used to just go by his home and hang out and chat with him.
Right.
And he was the one who actually brought me into the music business.
I see.
Sly Dunbar in 1983.
And
he brought me in by asking me to help him to promote his 10th anniversary concert.
Okay.
The 10th anniversary of Sly and Robbie, which was in 1983. And so a couple of friends of mine got together with Sly and Robbie and we put on a concert at the National Arena in Kingston, Jamaica. And that's how I got started in the business of music, by promoting a concert.
Okay.
And it just, you know, things just happened from there, you know?
I see. And is just before we play another tune, because I've got a short list of your selections to go through whilst we speak. And is there much competition? You know, you seem to have secured what you call a niche in the market. Do you have any rivals, you know, competing for your business, or are you the only recognized authority in this area?
No, absolutely not. There are many attorneys who are involved in the music industry. In the Caribbean, there are not many of us. But there are many attorneys who are involved and who represent people who are involved in reggae all over the world. You know, there are attorneys in the USA that I've come across over the years who, you know, focus on working with artists in the reggae genre.
Okay.
In the Caribbean, there are not many of us who specialize in that area.
Right.
But I would say that I was probably one of the first attorneys in the Caribbean that specialized, you know, in that I do nothing else,
yes,
but entertainment law.
Yes. And a quite a unique blend to have a background and an interest and a love for reggae music, as well as the lawyer background as well.
Yes, I think to practice as an attorney in the music industry, you have to love music. You know, you have to immerse yourself in the industry. You have to be able to be in the studio, be backstage, you know, be on the corner with the artists.
Yeah.
You have to be able to understand how they operate.
Yes, yes.
So that you can appropriately advise them.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's not a situation where you can be separate and apart from their lifestyle,
right,
and properly guide them.
Yes.
You need to understand how they function, how they think.
Yes, yes.
You know, so that's the approach I took. I actually got involved in the business aspect of the music industry before I decided to offer my services to the artists. You know, and I did that by promoting concerts, producing records myself,
okay,
managing a couple artists myself.
Okay.
That's how I got to understand how the business works and how the artists themselves operate.
Great.
And with that knowledge, I was able to, you know, develop a working relationship from which they could benefit. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, that's great. Thank you for filling us in on. You know, a little bit about the journey that you've taken to get to where you are now. And I'm very glad that you selected a Dubtonic track, because I spoke to Jubber a couple of times on Reggae Space, and I'm aware that they are still the greatest new band in the world. They won the Global Battle of the Band, as you probably know.
Yes.
So, so very glad that you selected the Dubtonic crew. Some people would say not many bands are actually operating and performing in Jamaica, not like perhaps it was in the past. And Dubtonic may be representing, you know, may represent one of the best, again, of the contemporary bands, would you say?
Yes, they certainly do. But what the comment you just made about not many bands, that is changing rapidly.
Yes.
In Jamaica right now, there is a movement that's happening in Jamaica, without a doubt, where there are several bands coming forward now. One of my other selections for the program is by a band called Blueprint. Before Dubtonic went on to the World Championships, they won the Jamaican Championship.
Right.
Blueprint won the Jamaican Championship the year after Dubtonic, and they are now going on to the World Championship.
I see.
Yeah, and there are many other bands, believe me. you know, that are coming up right now in Jamaica. I am really, really very optimistic and very, you know, happy about what I see going on in Jamaica in terms of bands and live music.
Yes,
there's a serious movement taking place right now. Raging Fire is another band that is coming forward and creating serious impact inside Jamaica and outside. So that is changing without doubt.
Yes, and I'm very encouraged by that as well. You're in tune with Reggae Space. Yendis in conversation with Lloyd Stanbury. You're listening to Dubtonic Crew.
Sunshine weather with my sunshine girl. She gives me much pleasure in our world. Come on, sunshine weather with my sunshine girl. She gives me much pleasure in our world. Yeah, oh yes, it's all about my sunshine girl. She always give me pleasure in my sunshine world. She's always by my side, she's not a sometime girl. She always makes me happy, she's a fun time girl. My sunshine girl, she rock my world. No one can ever, ever try to flop my girl. Material things vanity no attract my girl. Devoted, independent and a royal girl, my girl. Sunshine weather with my sunshine girl. She gives me much pleasure in our world. Come on, sunshine weather with my sunshine girl. She gives me much pleasure in our world. Lord, tropical love is what she give to me. Love deeper than the Caribbean Sea. Officially this love we share was meant to be. You don't even have to have binoculars to see. We give her anything she want, anything she need. Rasta gonna give it to her, yes indeed. Roba-doba loving is a guarantee. She will always be my little sunshine queen. Sunshine weather with my sunshine girl. She gives me much pleasure in our world. Come on, sunshine weather.
Big welcome goes out to DJ 745 in the shout box. Big up Queen Easy, Andrea Louise.
In our world.
And yourself, Janetta, Linford Nugent, likewise. Lloyd, I was interested to hear that you mentioned that one of the first activities that you were involved in as a lawyer was around the issue of copyrights. Because I have, over the weeks, spoken to artists in various parts of the world, and it seems there's a pattern. You know, the older artists, the ones that were operating in the 60s and 70s, they invariably have had a rough deal when it comes to gleaning some royalties from their work during that time. I'm guessing that it was around these issues that you were initially involved in when you first went into to practice law. Am I right?
Yes, one of the main areas that you will find yourself operating in as an entertainment lawyer will be the copyrights. Because the business of music and most other creative industries, activities, are based on the fact that people create things that give them certain rights. And when these rights are exploited commercially, people should be compensated.
Yes.
Yeah, and there are certain systems that exists that allow you to get this compensation. There is a law, of course, that says you have the right, and then there are institutions that exist that enable you to convert these rights into money
right.
when your work is used. So in order to benefit, you have to understand, or rather you need to have a representation by someone who understands how the copyright administration system works.
Right.
You know, what kinds of information needs to be placed on the recording when it is first made. So that's the source of information as to who should get what.
Right.
Who wrote the song, who produced the song, who the performer is. That's where it all starts.
Yes.
So the information surrounding the creative inputs is very important.
Yes.
So you have to get that correct at the outset. Then, you know, the various persons, the producer, the performer, the songwriters, they have certain things that they need to do to ensure that when the music that they have made is used, and used by way of sale or playing on radio, TV, now the internet, that they get compensated. And to do that, they have to align themselves with what we refer to as collection societies.
Okay.
That, you know, collect what is due to them on their behalf. In the early days, a lot of the artists were not aware of how the system works. They never had appropriate representation. They never entered into agreements with the people they were working with. So there was nothing in place to ensure that when their works were exploited, they would benefit from it.
Right.
That has changed significantly, in that people have become more aware. There are more persons who can advise them as to what to do. So it is changing, but we still are a long way off in terms of our level of understanding of the system of copyrights.
Right.
And we still do not have enough persons who can properly represent the rights holders. We do not have enough, and when I say we, I'm referring to the Caribbean mostly.
Yes.
Yeah, we do not have enough properly functioning collection societies. We do have more than we had in the early days,
yes,
but there is still room for significant improvement in that area. But we have come a long way. And yes, when I got involved, it was primarily to provide guidance to artists in relation to the copyright system, how it works.
Okay. And I don't know, but were you involved in cases where, you know, people who hadn't prepared themselves adequately sought to get some recompense at a later date? Would you be involved in such disputes?
Even today?
Yeah.
From the very early days and up to today, you know, I still do get a number of inquiries from people who will say, you know, the common thing is, I made a record several years ago, I didn't have any proper agreement with the producer I worked with, and I hear it's all over the world, I see it on the internet being sold, I have not received a penny since I made the record. I get that kind of inquiry very often, even now, still.
Right, right. And is there anything that they can do in those situations?
Yes, you can. You can. It's difficult when you don't have, when you have worked with a producer, for example, as an artist, and you never had any kind of arrangement, specific arrangement, agreed between yourself and the producer.
Yeah.
And that makes your case difficult. Not impossible, but difficult.
Okay.
So it is always advisable for the artist and the producer to have a basic understanding as to how they share in this work that they're doing together.
Okay.
Because it's a collaborative joint venture between the producer and the artist. So they should have a basic understanding between themselves, preferably in writing,
yes,
as to how they're going to participate in the fruits of this record that they're making together. Many times they don't have that agreement in place.
Yes.
And that makes it difficult to pursue the case.
Okay. But not impossible.
It's not impossible. No, it's not impossible at all. Sometimes it's not worth it, you know, because it can be expensive to go gather the necessary information, communicate with distributors all over the world, because in today's times when, you know, the internet rules, you know, your music can be online and being sold anywhere from any where in the world. So it can be a very expensive exercise to go track down who the actual distributor or online retailer or physical distribution point. It can be expensive to track that down and then pursue them.
Yeah.
And you might be going after a record that has just sold a couple of thousand.
Right.
Where, you know, and in many instances, the artists have a perception that they have sold millions, you know, which is not true. I mean, if you have a record out there and it's selling millions, you'll see it in the charts.
Right.
You know, it will make the mainstream charts if it's selling millions.
Yes. So their interest obviously is to get some royalties, some recompense for their creative
right. Work. Yeah, that's the ideal situation. That's the desire of all the artists. But if you don't put the appropriate arrangements in place at the outset, it makes it difficult in the future to do it.
Yes.
Things have changed significantly over the last 5 to 10 years, where many artists are now producing themselves and also distributing their works themselves. But the whole music industry is changing now.
Right.
You know, I was just at a panel discussion at the South by Southwest Music Conference in Austin, Texas over the weekend.
Okay.
And they were talking about the use of social media in promoting music.
Yes.
And someone in the audience got up and said something about the major labels, and the guy on the panel said, do they still exist? You know, that was the response. Do we really have major labels still?
Yes, you know? Because so many of the artists are going it alone nowadays.
Exactly. You know, the whole music industry is changing in a major way. It's a totally different thing from what it used to be 10, 15 years ago.
And that's not to say that they're making lots of money by cutting out the major labels, but what they benefit is that they actually know that their music is getting heard.
Yeah. Well, the recording side of the music industry has been shrinking in terms of sales of physical product.
Right.
Sales of actual CDs, cassettes, vinyl, and so on. That has been shrinking drastically over the last 5 years. Yeah?
Yeah.
But the sale of digital music has been increasing at a rapid rate over the same period. But overall, the recording industry has become very small. Well, not very small, but it is smaller than it used to be. So the emphasis has shifted to the live industry.
I see.
With emphasis being placed on earning from live.
I see.
Not to say that you can't make money from recordings and the sale of records and downloads and so on. Yes, people are still selling millions. There are artists who are still selling millions of units of their recordings.
I see. But for an artist, and there seem to be so many of them nowadays, every week there's another new artist. They tend to, from my point of view, is be freely giving away their music. So, and I guess the benefit of that is that when they do live shows, there's people there and they know them and maybe singing along with their tune.
Absolutely. The tendency now is to give away the music, and what has been proven as well is that those who give away also sell more.
Ah.
Yes, the artists who give away their music also end up selling more music. Yeah, because they create more awareness about themselves. Yeah, so they will sell more eventually. That has been proven beyond that. No one can contest that. Because all the artists who do that, they end up selling more records in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And they also get more live performance opportunities and also earn more. So it might seem odd to be giving it away, but in the long run, you end up earning more when you do it that way.
And it's something that many artists need to grasp, it would seem, because
you need to understand that. And there are a few artists who understand how that works. I have worked with a few of them. You know, there's one in particular that I always use as an example. You know, a new artist coming up out of Jamaica called Proto J.
Yes.
He is one of the artists who I use as a case study every opportunity I get, because I see what he has done for himself by giving away his music.
Right.
You know, he has reached to the point where he's now in demand as a result. You know, people want him, people are booking him from Africa to Europe, Japan, everywhere.
Yes.
As a result of taking that approach.
And it echoes a conversation I had some time back with another artist based in Canada by the name of Dubmatics. He has a website, and people can download a lot of his tunes. Not all of his tunes, but a lot of his tunes for free. But in the long run, just like you say, he sells quite a few units.
Exactly. It definitely works.
Okay, there's a question I see in the shout box. I don't know if you can see that. Just to let people know that I'm talking to Lloyd Stanbury, and he is logged in on the base, or he was. I can't see your name now, but I don't know if you can see that.
If I can log back in.
Okay, well, I'll read.
I was having a little delay in the, because I was trying to listen at the same time.
Oh, it's probably better to turn down the radio from whilst you're on air. But I'll read the question. It comes from DJ745. He's in East Midlands in the UK. Have artists today wised up to the legal aspects of the entertainment industry compared to, say, artists from yesteryear who have had lengthy disputes with producers like Coxon? Have producers become more transparent with their artists in terms of contracts?
I would say the situation has improved significantly over what we had 25, 30 years ago. And what we've also found is that a lot of the artists are now producing themselves. So, you know, everything is in-house in one business. Yeah, that doesn't mean there isn't the need to understand what is due to the producer, what is due to the performer, and what is due to the songwriter. Yeah,
yes.
We still need to have a clear understanding of that. We have improved in that area. There's more awareness for sure, because there has been, you know, more emphasis placed within the mainstream business community in Jamaica, for example, you know, where people are talking more about the music industry. You know, we got a copyright, an updated copyright law in the 90s.
Right.
There was quite a bit of publicity around that, and there still is. We have institutions formed that, you know, provide services to producers, services to songwriters. And these institutions, collection agencies, in other words, they do provide information to their membership. So people are wiser.
Yeah.
People are more aware.
Yeah.
On both sides, both on the side of the producer as well as the side of the performer.
Right.
So there are better arrangements being made today than we had in the past.
Right.
But we still have disputes.
Yes, still, and there's still some way to go, but it's an encouraging move, I would say.
Absolutely.
There's another question from the same one of our DJs, DJ745, he's in East Midlands of the UK. Picking up on what you were saying about artists like Protégé making their music available freely and getting a benefit in the longer run, is a question that goes, most of the music that appears on illegal download sites, are artists aware that their music is being given away free, or is it just leaked to these sites, as it were, from the studio engineers and whoever has copies?
You have things operating at two levels. There are cases where the artists deliberately try to get their music out there through their own website, and also mainly through their own website.
Right.
As a deliberate strategy towards marketing themselves.
Yes.
And we still do have a significant amount of unauthorized online distribution of music.
Yes.
So both things are happening concurrently.
I see.
And one needs to be able to make a distinction between the two. You know, there are people who deliberately say, come to my website and get stuff for free.
Yes.
Yeah? And it's better to do that, because someone may very well be offering it for free from a site that you have no control over.
Yes,
so there's a lot of you know, good sense to bringing the people to your website.
Yes,
of course. To get it free from you.
Yes, yes.
Then you establish a relationship with them, and those same people will buy eventually. Yes. But if they're going to get it from the pirate, you yes. will never get them back.
That's true.
So that's the rationale behind giving yes. it away for free within your own space.
Yes, yes.
So you bring them there rather than have them going to the pirates.
Yes, so it may be the case that certain LP CD is available both from an illegal download site
as well as from the artist's official website,
right.
if the artist does have one. Yes. And the more you promote your official site, the more you will find the people who really want to be your fans. They would prefer to come to you to get it for free.
Yes, yes.
Than go somewhere else.
And of course, the artist gets a benefit in that whilst they're downloading, they're looking at the website and seeing what other
exactly.
releases.
And if you have your website properly structured, you can develop a fan base.
Yes.
By knowing who these people are, and you continue to service them.
Yes.
And
yes.
and believe it or not, eventually it pays off because yes. these are people who like what you're doing.
Of course, because they've come to your website and
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's really great. That's really clearing up a lot of things. I see you're back on the website there. Just for people's information, you'll see the name Laws. That's Lloyd. I don't know if those are your initials or it's a statement.
you asked me earlier, how did I get into law? Those are actually my initials.
Wow.
And when I tell people those are my initials, they immediately assume that from I was a kid, I was setting out to do law, and it is absolutely not so. My parents never even thought about me as an attorney.
I see.
Coincidental that my initials spell Laws.
That's quite some coincidence.
It really is, because I never had my parents. That's the furthest thing in the minds of my parents, I can tell you that.
Wow.
And also, when I was growing up, that was never something I considered.
Okay. Well, you see also in the shout box we're pushing your own homepage and inviting people to make that click and visit your website where they can find out more about you. I think it's time for another track from your list. You gave me the option to choose anything from the artist Tyrus Riley. Another one of the upcoming, well, not upcoming, he's already come.
He's here.
He's here. And
he's now here.
He's established now.
He's not coming up anymore.
No, son of the great Jimmy, but quite a distinct talent in his own right. The track I've selected is Sweet Jamaica. I think that was suitable because you're representing a lot of artists from the Jamaica and I guess elsewhere in the Caribbean, but you do operate elsewhere in the world as well, do you?
Yes, I do. In recent years, I've been in Africa quite a bit. I've been visiting several countries in Africa, South Africa, Senegal, Ivory Coast, Burkina Faso. And what I've been doing mostly there is training, you know, workshop training sessions in the business of music.
Okay.
And as a result, I've, you know, formed some relationships with artists and managers and people in the music industry, you know, right across Africa. Yeah. So I've been doing quite a bit of work in Africa in the last 2-3 years.
Yes, yes. Okay, and I notice on your website, on your Facebook page, you pictured with what's his name, Roots, the sauce maker. What's his name?
Yes,
Levi Roots.
Levi
yes.
Roots.
You're in London.
Yeah, but I met him a month ago.
Okay.
In London, and we had a good reasoning, you know.
Yes.
And
yes.
hopefully we will meet again soon.
Okay.
We can talk some more. You know, a lot of people might not be aware of his musical career, you know,
yes,
but
he's
a musician in his own right, as much as he's a successful businessman.
Yes, of course.
So we had a good reasoning, and hopefully we'll be talking again soon. You never know what might happen.
Interestingly, though, apart from his music career, he was in the news recently because one of his ex-partners has got a dispute with him about the origins of his famous reggae sauce. And
yeah.
Did you happen to discuss?
I heard about that. I think the outcome of the case was that he was actually successful in the lawsuit that was brought.
All right.
Against him, because it was determined in his favor.
I see.
Levi Root's favor. So I think that is probably something in the past now.
Right. Okay. Okay. Some more music. I see DJ 745 put another question in the shout box. I'll come back to that. But let's hear some more music. Tyrus Riley, Sweet Jamaica.
Eternal Father, bless this land, guide I with thy mighty hand. Eternal Father, bless this land, guide I and I and I and I. Oh yeah, hey, round and round nice. It might look pretty in the day, but in the night, happy as crow face, pensions fly, everything arise. What a pity if we see all mankind living their lives. Hey, well, tonight, put down your gun, dash for your knife, and I wanna fight in the party, the girls, them nice, herbs and spice. And we not defend no graveyard, we are play bow and dice. Me tired for here,
oh, what a tune. Nice selection. Big up yourself, Lloyd.
Eternal Father, bless this land, guide I with thy mighty hand. Eternal Father, bless this land, guide I and I and I and I and I. Oh yeah, hey, grown and nice. It might look pretty in the day, but in the night, happy as crow face, pensions fly, everything arise. What a pity if we see all mankind living their lives. Hey, well, tonight, put down your gun, dash for your knife, and I wanna fight in the party, the girls, them nice, herbs and spice. And we not defend no graveyard, we are play bow and dice. Me tired for here, tired for here, bam, 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 bam. Well, last you see the youths, them playing ball, I break it down to the beer and the suckling, a gunman. In my sweet, sweet Jamaica, wild blood I run like water. And it burn my heart when me read the papers and hear the talk of the juveniles round, yeah, them moving dark. Send no light, no shine on, yeah, so them play the part of a ruthless gangster. Sweet, sweet Jamaica, hey, blood I run like water. And hey, I'm like a soldier when me dead in a me yard, and I'm not smiling. Me in a me camouflage, stress passes, no cross my part, I rest the dogs the bar. My mama told me, son, you better careful. Them can't buy food, but every man grateful. Them thirsty for blood, this generation of vipers. Ha! Me tell it for you. Tell it for you. Pam, 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 pam. Hey, when last you see the youths, them playing ball and cricket. Ha! And now I need you, I'm a grown man. Eternal Father, bless this land, guide I with
that. I don't know if you can see that in the shout box there, DJ 745, very pleased to have you here and to have the ability, the opportunity to hear your views on certain subjects. He, as a DJ, he's one of our DJs out of the east of the UK, and very, very proudly promotes vinyl, and wants to keep the vinyl alive, and he's concerned about, as you might see there, other DJs getting used to these download sites and getting music for free, and he's wondering if they're really destroying the industry and not really contributing to the longevity of the artists producing music through their use to getting it for free. I don't know if you have a view on that.
It's as I was saying earlier, the business is changing rapidly. We're still trying to figure our way through the change that has come about as a result of the technological changes that, you know, have come upon us. You know, the internet, the fact that people can get music up online, it makes it easier for the pirate to operate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're still trying to find the way to deal with what the internet is causing right now. You know, there are all kinds of, you know, solutions that have been tried by various companies. I mean, Apple is a success story as a result of what they've been doing with iTunes and their iPods and so on.
Yeah.
So yes, the free music online is affecting the pockets of the artists. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
I do think that it is going to fix itself eventually. I'm not pessimistic or seeing it as doomsday by any means.
Okay.
You know, because the very same technology that is allowing free access to music is also allowing us to monitor who uses music.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of us catching up, you know, in terms of adjusting the laws, because we're going to have to make changes to the laws over the to cater for this new technological age that we're operating in. But I really think eventually we will find our way through, and, you know, more people will be paying for music online. That is already happening. Every year the amount of music that is paid for online increases significantly.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not like it's all lost. You know, some people want to paint a picture as if to say the music industry is over. Furthest thing from the truth. The same technology that is causing free music has also allowed us to create so many other opportunities for the exposure of music.
Yes.
Without the technology, you and I could not be doing what we're now doing.
That's true.
You know, on online radio, you know, and the technology has allowed certain types of radio entities to come on stream now who are paying licensing fees.
That's right.
To play their music online, from which the artists are benefiting.
Yes.
And so we are in a transition, you know, and it's like a changing of the guard, you know. The traditional major labels are going to disappear, and companies that emphasize technology are going to become the new major labels.
I see.
Because that is what is happening in the industry.
Right. A bit like the dinosaurs.
Yes, they are going to disappear, or they have to change the way they do business.
And you mentioned about new laws, and these are coming on stream increasingly, and that's all improve things. But laws are created by the government, and I'm particularly interested in the Jamaican government and their attitude to reggae music. I was speaking to another artist a couple of weeks back, Nina Carl, and she was saying that, you know, in the early days when she started, you know, reggae music wasn't the flavor of the month, with a lot of if we call it the higher echelons of the society in Jamaica, and even the Christian contingent. You know, they had quite a negative view of reggae music, and I'm wondering if that is lingering, you know, with some of the people that make up the Jamaican government. What would you say is the Jamaican government's attitude towards this, what we might consider a goose laying a golden egg, because it is quite an industry, and it can be lucrative if worked right. Is that right?
Yes, I agree. The business of music and reggae, as far as Jamaica is concerned, it's a significant opportunity. It provides significant opportunities for many people, and therefore, I think it should be an area of activity that gets priority treatment in terms of government policy.
Right.
I don't think that is happening. There's a lot of talk about developing Jamaica's creative industries and developing Jamaica's music industry. But a lot of it is just talk, because, you know, some things are done, but certainly not enough. And while the talk is happening, you're getting signals from government.
Yes.
That makes it clear that you know, it's not a priority.
Right.
You know, and in fact, other things, you know, are getting priority over our own music. And in fact, just this year, there was a big outcry from the reggae music community, you know, in their response to government taxpayers' money being pumped into a major festival that was made up of artists from outside of Jamaica.
Okay.
You know, I'm speaking about the Jazz Festival, Jamaica Jazz Festival, where a significant amount of government resources were, you know, allocated to the promotion of that event.
Okay.
At the same time that, you know, the reggae artists were trying to get support for the further development of Reggae Month.
Right.
You know, so when you see things like that, you have to ask the question, you know, whether the government is really very committed to developing this industry.
And did you
I
ask
don't
that
think
question?
They are. I think they talk a lot about it because it's good publicity. You know, it makes them look good on TV when they want to get votes.
Right.
But they're not really doing what is required
right.
to develop the domestic music industry in Jamaica.
If you were to count up the dollars, then that their talk is hollow.
Absolutely.
Because I understand that I don't know the figures involved, but there's a lot of support for what you highlighted there, the jazz blues festival or whatever it was, compared to you know, how much was put into staging the Reggae Month and supporting the Mali Museum and things like that,
and the School of Music, you know.
Yeah.
The School of Music has been turning out. I just spoke earlier about this movement of live bands.
Yes.
You know, the majority of the players in these bands are graduates of the Edna Manley College for the Visual and Performing Arts.
Okay.
The music department of that college.
Yes.
There's a great program in that institution right now. The popular music program is headed by Ibo Cooper, founder of Third World Band. He has been there for the last 7-8 years.
Right.
And he has made a significant impact on the whole school as a result of the work that he's doing, which is the reason why we have these bands coming forward right now. You know,
right.
Ranging as, you know, most of the artists, even in Taros Riley's band, they are graduates from the Edna Manley College.
In
Damian Marley's band, they're graduates from the Edna Manley College. So yeah. All the top musicians are now pulling from the Edna Manley College to have the bands to support them, as well as bands are being formed by the graduates.
Yes.
And yet the Edna Manley College is struggling.
Right, right.
You know, struggling, and they are funded by government.
Well, you see, you know, I'm interested in what can be done about it, because, you know, to continue my analogy with the goose that lays golden eggs, the eggs have been dropping all over the world. You know, in Europe, there have been festival upon festival all throughout the summer, and again in America, similarly. You know, the golden eggs have been dropping elsewhere, and not too many are dropping in Jamaica. And you know, it's like they're wringing the neck of the goose, you know, by neglecting, you know, to support and feed the goose, you know.
I agree with you.
And from,
I totally agree with you.
And from the point of view of artists and producers and the whole industry, and even the DJs, is there anything that we can collectively or even individually do to wake up or influence the government, or do we have to leave it to people like yourself who have the ears of government and support you in your work?
No, I think the artists, the producers, the people in the media who have been supporting the music, I think, you know, we need to work more closely together. We need to find ways to cooperate in building organizations that can do collective representation on our behalf. We have been very weak in terms of building and maintaining organizations.
Okay.
That's the only way. Individually, you can't deal with government. You have to have organized representation.
Yeah.
And we have not done a very good job as members of the music industry in working together. There is too much disunity, you know, mistrust between the players within the industry.
Yes.
And as a result of that, we have not been able to effectively lobby, effectively make representation
right.
on our behalf to government so that we can get the kind of change and kind of results that we need to have. So I think the onus is really on the industry players
right.
to come together to support organizations when they are formed. And if you don't like how the organization is functioning, don't stay outside and criticize it. Go on the inside and change it for the better.
Right, right, right.
You know, we have a tendency to stay outside and critique these organizations
yes,
rather
yes.
than becoming a part of them
yes,
and,
yes.
And trying to make an input from the inside.
Okay, okay. What comes to mind is the lyric you often hear in songs about organize and centralize and, you know, gaining more
yeah.
influence.
Yes, yeah. We need to work more closely together, you know, and that's the only way we can change stuff. That's the only way we can force the government to do the things that we would like for them to do.
I notice, I'm aware that you've created or instigated certain organizations yourself that seem to fit in with what we're saying now. Is that right?
I've been a part of the process of establishing two of the collection societies that now operate in Jamaica. The one that represents the songwriters, JCAP.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was instrumental in getting that organization formed and served on the first board of directors of that organization. And then there's another organization called JAMS, Jamaica Music Society, that represents the music producers. That was also an organization that I was instrumental in forming.
Right.
Both these entities continue to operate and continue to provide services for songwriters on one hand and also services for music producers on the other. And but there's need for other organizations to be put in place. Yeah?
Right, right.
And then there's also a need for one effective umbrella organization that pulls all of these together.
Right.
Yeah, and then through that central organization of organizations, for want
yeah.
of a better way of putting it, you can effectively get change.
Now, there
not
is
just from government, but even from entities outside of Jamaica that are affecting the music industry. We have issues not only in Jamaica, we have issues in Europe. Which is in the United States as to what is happening to reggae.
Okay.
But it can't; those issues won't be addressed unless we have strong organizations within the reggae industry.
Yes.
Locally in Jamaica as well as internationally.
And like you highlighted earlier, and dare I say it, you know, Jamaicans and Jamaica hasn't got a strong history of unity, and you know, there's
that's a problem. And people use that. People who are aware of that, they use that, you know, to their benefit.
Yes. Yes. Okay, well, on that note, I think we should go to another track from your list. You highlighted an artist who's you use as a case study for the benefits of freely accessible music, Protégé. Is a track I want to play where he's working closely with Don Corleone, a track entitled Our Time Come, which again is quite a pertinent title because the younger artists who seem to have their act a little bit better together, organized, they're not going to be taken for a ride like some of the ones that went before.
My time comes.
Every time. It's been a long ride. Our time come. Check away your dreams. Keep your eyes open. Chatting in the streets.
Be way, yeah, yeah.
Any day.
Be way, yeah, yeah.
Our time come. Check away your dreams. Keep your eyes open. Chatting in the streets.
Be way, yeah, yeah.
Any day.
Be way, yeah, yeah.
Any day.
How when you see me, I go through, no bother stop me Babylon. A book in my bag and needs a pen in my hand. The lyrics where my habit of is spread to everyone. With my lines and my letters and my 50 cent stamp. So love it or you hate it, that I see your decision. But when the rhythm stick, me operate with precision. A unity me I say over any division. You never catch it, no, I beg you, do your revision.
All time come, check how we're doing. Keep your eyes open, chatting in the streets.
Be way,
any day.
Be way,
any day.
Our time come, check how we're doing. Keep your eyes open, chatting in the streets.
Be way,
any day.
Be way,
from 7 year old, my have to get a bus. The flow is on the rhythm like a terror fabulous. Lift off in the 747 we arrive. Then land and drive away in a the 745. 7 number one tune, 7 different year. Career for switch around 7 different years. 7 different weeks, spot every parish, every state. Now I'ma change my mind, upgrade everything to 8. Done!
Our time come, check how we agree. Keep your eyes open, chat it in the streets. Our time come, check how we agree. Keep your eyes open, chat it in the streets.
Honesty is a necessity if you want to lead. Leadership necessary if you want to unite the people. Good intentions get wise because of greed. And the loss of power has enabled all the bleeding. You're on your mouth, careful of where you talk. Cause if you lose your trust, you can't go get it back. Them get them chance and no make no pertinent remarks. So when time you are listen, just keep this in your thoughts. Cause
our time comes. Check
out. Big up each and everyone on the bass, reggae space, and listening to live conversation here, Yendis and Lloyd Stambry. Big up all those listening out on Facebook, and if you got your hand held tuned in to Reggae Space, big welcome goes out to you. Lloyd, there's another area that I would like to explore, if it's okay with you. The issue about artists being booked to perform at a particular event and for whatever reason failing to show. I'm aware there's a number of high profile incidents of that over recent weeks and months. I'm mindful of one, Richie Spice, who was due to appear at a particular concert. I can't remember exactly where in the world it was, but a lot of the people who purchased tickets for the event aren't in the best frame of mind with regard to him. And one commented on a Facebook page that they would set for him if ever he was to set foot in their country again. But what does the law say about this? You know, a promoter books an artist, and does a certain amount of promotion. There's a question of how well, you know, the promoter does their job. If the artist fails to show, what does the law say about that with regard to both the artist, the promoter, and the punter, the people who pay the tickets?
Well, it's really, there are different reasons why you would find something like this happening. There are cases I'm aware of where unscrupulous promoters promote, advertise events with artists' names on it who they have not entered into any arrangements with.
Okay.
to appear on the show. We still have cases like that.
So just to clarify that, you know, a promoter just dreams up a name, a big name, just to draw a crowd and don't talk to the artist himself and have no intention of the artist actually arriving and performing, but sell a load of tickets anyway.
That does happen. Yeah, that's not the predominant case.
Okay.
In most of the cases, there is actually an agreement in place, or some negotiations would have taken place between the promoter and the artist. And it's a question of professionalism on the part of the promoter.
Yeah.
There are certain basic guidelines about doing a show. You know, you're entering into an agreement with an artist. The typical arrangement is you have a contract in place, you agree the fee,
right.
You agree the date, you agree what expenses you're supposed to take care of. You pay a half of the fee when you sign the contract, and you pay the other half. Some artists insist on getting the other half before they leave their country because of where they're going to.
Okay.
Some artists say they must get the other half when they arrive in the country. Usually, the other half should be paid before the artist performs.
Right.
And that's their contract.
Okay.
The artists have every right to, you know, not perform if the contractual terms are not followed. And that has happened several times, you know, where the artists actually travel to the country where the concert is supposed to be held, and they have difficulties in collecting the balance of their payment, or other arrangements are just not in accordance with the agreement entered into with the promoter.
Okay.
Some people would say, well, the artist should, you know, take into consideration their fans and still perform, even though the promoter has breached the contract by not paying the second part of the fee. And some people take the view that, no, you know, the artist has every right not to go on the stage because there's an agreement that says he should be paid in full before he starts performing. That's
right.
That's normal in the business of music, that you get paid in full before you start performing. Half when you sign and the other half before you hit the stage. That's normal. So when a promoter goes into the business with the intention of doing it some other way, he's at fault. You know, a promoter should also not be depending on the gate to pay the artist.
This is another thing that I'm aware of.
So when a promoter goes into a venture and he's depending on the gate collections to pay the artist, he's at fault.
Right.
You know, because the artist has committed, he may have given up other dates where he could be paid to come to your date. So you should ensure you have the money to pay him or don't do the event.
So
these are the things that you need to explore before you can place the blame.
Yes, because I understand that there's instances where a promoter is engaged an artist. Let's say, for argument's sake, they have a contract, but they've poorly promoted the event and it's poorly attended. And
that's not the artist's fault.
That's right. And the artist may have even arrived at the venue and seen the poor attendance and decided then not to appear.
Well, the artist, if I am representing an artist, he's not leaving the hotel until he's paid in full.
Okay.
Because once you enter the venue, you have a problem.
That's
you should
right.
be in the venue unless you have been paid in full.
I see.
Because if you are there and you have not been paid in full, you have compromised your position because your fans see you.
Yes.
And then you may have to take the stage even though you have not paid.
So
or you may go there to meet the promoter and you see 10 people in the audience, so you know you're not going to get paid.
Yeah.
So that's a problem.
It is.
So you should insist on being paid before you even arrive at the venue.
I see.
The promoter should be prepared to pay the artist before they are. And even if 10 people show up, the promoter should still pay the artist, you know, or they can have a discussion. And I've known of cases, you know, I've done that myself where I'm representing artists and I'm talking about major promoters. And when we arrive, you know, the promoter, the turnout is not best, and we sit down and we talk about it and we reduce the fee.
I see. Because there is a
certain... So you have to have some flexibility.
Yeah. Because
there are rules as to how the business should be done. Yeah, you have a contract, there's an amount that you're supposed to pay to the artist, and you should have that money. You should not be waiting on the gate receipts to collect and then pay the artist, or you're likely to have a problem.
Because it seems most expensive, not only for the punter who's paid the tickets and there's no or little or no chance of them getting refunds, but it also impacts on the artist getting a bad name as a no-show.
Because sometimes the information doesn't filter through to the audience.
That's it.
You know, and they get the wrong impression, you know, and the wrong person is blamed.
Yes.
And that has happened a lot. You know, I don't know the circumstances of the Richard Spice case you mentioned, but there are instances where, you know, patrons blame the artist and the artist is not at fault.
Yes, yes.
Yes, it's all about, you know, understanding that you're doing a business. It's not a hustle. It's a business transaction. And as the promoter, you have certain obligations, you know, and you need to act professionally. Yeah, you need to make sure that you have the funds to do the event. You need to properly promote the event so that people will turn up and it will work.
Yes, yes.
Because if you are not professional, if you are not fully aware of what you should be doing, then you're likely to have problems.
Yes.
So
yes.
One of the reasons we have had so many of these situations is that there are a number of persons out there who are trying to promote events and they really don't know how to do it.
I see. Because, I mean, apart from the promoter, they seem to be cushioned from the public perception. It often seems like the public perceive the artist as being at fault. You know, they never turn up. You know, and
yes. There are cases where artists are at fault. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
You know, there are cases where artists will take deposits and just not turn up.
Right. Right. And that's
because probably they have another engagement. There are cases I'm aware of where an artist will enter into an arrangement with a promoter, take the deposit, and then another engagement comes up which pays more. And they go ahead and do that without even returning the first person's money,
right,
or communicating with the person. They just go after the bigger payday.
Yes, yes, yes,
and ignore the promoter. So there are cases where the artists are at fault. I know of them.
So
we have to look at each case, yes, and get the facts before we start blaming anyone.
And this may lead to some nightmare situations that I've been reading about, where artists and promoters, more artists I guess, have been sort of kidnapped and refused exit from a country that they are due to perform.
It can lead to, you know, explosive and dangerous situations.
Yeah.
Just recently there was an incident in St. Vincent with one of top reggae artists. He was actually there, but he never took the stage because this is what is reported in the newspaper.
Okay.
The second part of the payment wasn't coming forth from the promoter, and he just never performed, and there was a riot almost, you know, and police and gunshots and all of that got into play. I don't know if anyone was injured. But so these situations can explode into all kinds of things where innocent people can even get hurt.
Yes, yes. Now the aspect, the issue of ensuring that contracts are in place or at least agreements made, you know, in some of the instances we're referring to, it matters not whether there was a contract or any agreement, because, you know, especially when it's an international event, you know, it's unlikely that people are going to leave their country, go to the country where the artist is supposed to live, and seek some sort of compensation.
Yeah, there is that difficulty for sure, because where you have that kind of a breakdown in the relationship and a project, and there is loss suffered as a result. Yes, it's hard for the promoter to pursue the artist in another country. It's hard for that to happen, but no artist wants to have that kind of thing associated with their name too often.
Right.
Because even though you might not be sued, and people have been sued, even though you might not be sued, once the word gets out there, you know, in the live music community that you have done something like that, taken a promoter's money and not show up, then the word getting around will hurt you.
There'll
be promoters who won't want to do any business with you. So even though you might not be pursued legally in the courts in your home, the word will get around, and promoters will stay away from from you. So you're going to lose business.
Yes. Okay. Right. Well, we're about 10 minutes away from the top of the hour. I got one more tune I want to play here. It's another one of your... well, it's two. There's two on the list I want to play. This next one by The Blueprint, artist that you mentioned, a band that you mentioned earlier. And another topic that I want to invite you to make comment on is really to advise artists and even event managers, promoters, about how they should really approach doing their work, how they should consider the business, if there are any sort of essentials that they need to have in place if they want to fully exploit the benefits of their skills. Perhaps you would just consider a few of those points before and we'll pick up on your responses after this next track.
Okay.
Big up to DJ 745, I Dread, conversating in the shout box. Large up everyone who's on the bass and all those out on Facebook and on handhelds across the world. I can see Climb No Trees is here. Big up Dags and Denture D, I Dread. Big up Linford Nugent, Lioness of Judah. Big up Norris Edwards, Nubian Queen, Queen Easy. And Selector Rose Breadfruit, Sister Gadi is here. Big up and welcome, Sister Gadi. Somali Williams. I see a space after me at the top of the hour, so I may have a little bit of license and go a little bit over time if need be. But in the meantime, a track by The Blueprint, a track entitled Baby Blue, Baby Blue.
Share this love between me and you. Ooh, 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 ooh. My B-A-B-Y-B-O-O. Girl, you are my baby boo. Share this love between me and you. My baby. Get up every morning wishing you were here, reminiscing on your cute smile, your pretty face, yeah. You're the one I need to rock my world. You're more precious than diamonds and pearls, cause I can't deny my love for you. My love is really true. I can't deny my love for you. Girl, you're my B-A-B-Y-B-O. Girl, you are.
Hey, let's hear this again from the top. A band highlighted by Lloyd by the name of The Blueprint, a track entitled Baby Blue. You like this one, Dax? You like this one, Linford?
Girl, you're my B-A-B-Y-B-O. Girl, you are my baby boo. Share this love between me and you. B-A-B-Y-B-O-O. Girl, you are my baby boo. Share this love between me and you. My baby. Get up every morning wishing you were here, reminiscing on your cute smile, your pretty face, yeah. You're the one I need to rock my world. You're more precious than diamonds and pearls, cause I can't deny my love for you. My love is really true. I can't deny my love for you. Girl, you're my B-A-B-Y-B-O. Girl, you are my baby boo. Share this love between me and you. Ooh, 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 ooh. My B-A-B-Y-B-O. Girl, you are my baby boo. Share this love between me and you. You in my arms to keep me satisfied. You're always on my mind and you will abide. I know it's gonna take some time, yeah. In you I will abide. I can't deny my love for you. My love is really true. I can't deny my love. B-U-I-B-O-O. Girl, you are my baby boo. Share this love between me and you. B-A-B-U-I-B-O-O. Girl, you are my baby boo. Share this love between me and you. Get up every morning wishing you were here, reminiscing on your cute smile, your pretty face, yeah. You're the one I need to rock my world. You're more precious than diamonds and pearls, cause I can't deny my love for you. My love is really true. I can't deny my love for you, baby.
One of a growing number of bands becoming more and more popular in Jamaica. I think we're both very pleased about that, and I'm sure a lot of people outside and around the world are pleased to hear that as well. There was a time when bands were on suffering a bit of a decline, and the soloists were on the rise, but that seems to be being reversed to some extent, which I think is a good thing. Would you agree, Lloyd?
Absolutely. Definitely a very good sign, you know. And I'm just hoping that, you know, most of these bands will get to tour, you know, because there are issues out there in terms of touring, because it's so expensive for promoters to cover the cost of a party of 10, 11, 12 persons.
Right.
And there's been a tendency to, you know, have solo artists travel into countries and then have bands, musicians from, you know, those countries back these artists.
Yes, yes.
So when a band, so there are difficulties that the bands will face, you know, because it's more expensive to fly them in,
right,
and to move them around and put them up in hotels and so on, you know, because it's just costly. So I'm just hoping that, you know, solutions will be found to enable these bands to get on the road.
Yes, yes. And again, is there any role for the government and the collecting institutions?
Absolutely, because some of the hindrances, you know, that promoters in some European countries face is that there is a tax that they have to pay for musicians, artists who come from outside. So the less numbers they have, you know, it's the easier it is for them to deal with the artists, because it's less tax. Because I've heard promoters in Europe say this, you know, that it costs them so much more in the taxes that they have to pay.
Really?
As against when they bring a solo act as against a band of 10.
Yeah.
So those things are working against the artists. These are issues that can be addressed at a diplomatic international government reasoning level.
Yes,
and that's how it should be addressed.
Yes,
you know, because there is the space for, you know, governments in Jamaica, the Caribbean, Africa to have discussions with countries in Europe and within the European Union to look at issues like that, because they have international cultural exchange agreements that these various countries enter into, and that's one of the issues that they should be talking about.
Yeah,
and they
should
be discussing that, because it's affecting the cultural exchange that they both try to promote.
Yes, yes, and it will have a detrimental effect, you know, on you know, instrumentalists, you know, with the
concentration
they're
not going to be able to travel. And we should the government definitely has a role to play in remedying that situation.
Okay. Another, as I mentioned before this last track, I'm wondering if there's any advice you would have, you know, for artists that are entering into the business, even artists that have been established and performing for a while. Some essential things they need to have in place in order to recoup the maximum from their creative works. I think the
main thing that I would advise is to, first of all, understand that you're getting into a business. Yeah,
right.
Most people get into music because they love it and they want to express themselves.
Yes.
And that's great, and that's absolutely necessary. But you also want to make a living from it.
Right. program.
And to make a living from it, you have to treat it like a business. Okay. To treat it like a business, you need to surround yourself with persons who have experience, knowledge, the necessary contacts to advise and guide you.
Because you
call them management.
You did mention a couple.
Yes, go ahead.
You did mention a couple of words that I think are appropriate here. You mentioned that some people consider it a hustle, or consider it in an informal way. Maybe that's
right,
historically.
Right. So you need to understand that, in as much as it is something that you're doing for the love of it, and because you might be spiritually moved, you might be moved to be a messenger to the people. That's great. That is very essential. That's a very essential part of the art of you know, developing your art and exposing it to the world. But you also want to do that and pay your school fees for your kids,
right?
And pay for your get a home,
yes,
and make a living from it. And to do that, you need to treat it as a business. And to treat it as a business requires representation. You have to have people around you, managers, agents, lawyers, who can properly advise you, and they must be paid.
Right,
you can't expect them to do it for free.
I see.
Yeah, and a lot of the artists don't appreciate that, so they continue to struggle. You know, so you have to be aware that you're getting involved in a business, and you have to reach out to people who believe in what you're doing and prepare to enter into business relationships with you to help you to develop your business.
Yes.
You don't have to always have money to pay these people up front. If people really believe in what you are doing, people will invest their time and expertise, and you have an appropriate arrangement with them as to how they get compensated when you start making money. And you should not get involved with these people, and when you start making money, you kick them out.
Right. Okay. I mean, the words that comes to my mind is to adopt a more professional approach.
Absolutely. You have to treat it as a business and adopt a professional approach to it, and get people around you who are prepared to help you to become more professional.
Okay, so they need to be engaging people like yourself to advise them. Let's just make sure that you have the opportunity to let off your web link. What's your web page?
It's LloydStanbury.com.
Okay, simple and straightforward, LloydStanbury.com. You'll be quite willing, I'm sure, to receive inquiries from artists and anybody else in the music industry looking to be professionally represented. Is that right?
Well, that's what I do. That's what I do it on a one-on-one basis, where someone can be a client and I provide services and they pay me for my services. And I also do it on a broader level, where I provide workshop training. And there are various ways to facilitate, you know, a workshop where, you know, I can a day or 2 days and work with a group of 25, 30, 40, 50 or more persons. There are ways to organize those kinds of activities so a larger group can benefit. And I tend to prefer that now, you know, the approach where we do workshops that are sponsored by government agencies or organizations, and a larger group of people can benefit from the information. And in that kind of scenario, there are other persons that would get involved. It wouldn't be just me.
Yeah.
There are other persons that could be brought in with other areas of expertise to assist in the workshop training.
So just to explore that a little bit, it could be, I don't know, let's just imagine a production house that has a number of artists and a number of musicians that are associated with it, may amount to 20 or 30 people. They could say, Lloyd, can you put on a training day for us, just to bring us up to the right speed of in terms of what we need to have in place, and that's the kind of thing that you would do?
I would do that. Most of what I have done so far have been workshops that have been supported by organizations in various countries, like a Songwriters Association, working along with the government of a country or a province or a city, could come together, make representation where governments are prepared to support development of music industry. And it happens throughout the world. they are ready and willing to work with organizations, even private entities, music studios, to assist them in developing workshops that large groups of people can participate in. And there are opportunities to get funding support for those types of things. People just need to explore, you know, and if you have, it's best if there's an association that's behind it.
I see.
An association, the Birmingham Reggae Association, whatever you want to, it can come in various forms.
I see, yes. And from their organized, they can apply for funds.
Yeah, there are ways to secure funding support for training. That's the easiest way to be supported is to say you want to be trained.
Yes.
People will always fund you to get educated, to get information, to do better business. It's never difficult.
Okay, so
once we accept that we're in a business and we need to be informed and equipped to do the business, there are opportunities to get support for that. And persons, not just me, you can access trainers from all over the world.
I see.
I've worked in a whole lot of projects like that.
So all over. I'm mindful now, based in the UK. I'm mindful of organizations or entities, let's say, that they're concerned with bringing on new talent and giving a stage to upcoming artists. That seems to fit very neatly into what we're discussing here. You know, if they were to apply, perhaps link up with you in the first place, and maybe then make an application to an appropriate body.
There in the UK, there are appropriate bodies that will fund that kind of activity. I'm aware of that.
Okay, that's really interesting. Okay. We're over the top of the hour. I'm very glad that you've spent time with us, and I hope I haven't taken too much of your day. I got one more tune to play, and I also want to give you the opportunity to big up whoever you would like to big up. And one other area, and maybe we can quickly discuss this, is young people, and whether the young people are encouraged to adopt a professional approach to music from an early age through schooling and so forth. But I'll perhaps discuss that with you after this next track. It is a Mystic Revealers track that you listed. And I want to big up Kenny P. I just noticed Kenny P is on the bass. A big welcome to you. You're in tune with Yendis and Lloyd Stanbury live on Reggae Space. A little bit over the top of the hour, but we're not watching that. Final track in the selection from Lloyd, Mystic Revealers. Tracking title, Saw You Smiling.
When I saw you smiling, you were halfway across the room. I saw you smiling, and I knew that I had to make you mine. Got this feeling, when I saw you cross the room, it got me thinking, right now, I've got to tell you. Love grows in my heart for you, more
these new bands that you have a soft spot for, Mystic Revealers. Is that right, Lloyd?
Well, Mystic Revealers is an old band, you know, that was around back in the day, and they stopped playing, and they are actually regrouping.
Okay.
To get back on the road. But you know, the song you just played was out maybe 15 years ago or more.
Okay.
But the reason why I selected them is because the leader of that band, Billy Mystic, he, in my view, has been very instrumental in this movement of new live music and new bands in Jamaica.
Yes.
By providing a space for them to play.
Okay.
You know, and he has been doing that for the last 3 to 5 years, and as a result, this movement has just mushroomed and is taking off.
Wow.
And somehow I just seem that it might have inspired him to get his band back together.
I see.
You know, that's just my feeling, because he's just announced that his band is coming back on the road. So Mystic Revealers has been around for maybe 20 years or more.
I see.
You know, but they stopped performing for about 10 years, and they're getting ready to get back on the road now.
That's a good sign. That's really encouraging.
You know, so some of the old bands are even coming back.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm really encouraged by that. And live music is really where it's at from my point of view. And it's better than it's better to have a unit rather than a lead singer and the local band, you know?
Right.
Because, you know, there's an understanding and a tightness that you get. And
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mentioned another area that we might briefly discuss. I don't know if you have a view about it, but the schooling system, particularly in Jamaica, I'm not sure how you would perceive it, but some would argue that schooling systems in general tend to churn out workers rather than leaders and managers, and certainly not innovators. What would you say?
Yeah, I think we have failed. We educate people to become employees.
Yeah.
That's what we have traditionally been doing, you know, educating people to go and work within a particular environment. We have not educated people to become business people.
No.
We have not educated people to become entrepreneurs. We have not put enough emphasis on training people to go start their own business.
Yes, yes.
And I think there has to be a shift in that direction. Because that is what is happening throughout the world. You know, there are more people wanting to run their own business, and particularly in the entertainment industry, you know, everybody's now their own major label.
Okay.
You need to be your own major label. You don't go looking for a deal. Yeah. So I'm just saying that in the context of the music and entertainment industry, we need to equip people to run their own business. And that goes across the board. It applies to all other areas.
Yes,
we have not done enough training of entrepreneurs. There's not enough entrepreneurship training within the formal school system.
Right, right. I mean, you could argue that, you know, you might pick up the traits and the guidance and the encouragement if you happen to be
in an environment where you're probably your family runs a business.
Yes.
Then you might get exposed. But we should be able to offer those training tools to people within the school system.
Yes.
Because you can teach someone how to run a business.
Yes, yes, that's right, just like any other subject.
Exactly. So we have not done enough of that.
And that is impacting on it's impacting on the overall state of the music industry as well as other industries.
Exactly. So it will impact the economy in any country. If people are not prepared to do business and build businesses, then your economy will struggle.
Yes, yes. And it's better that they leave school with an awareness of what it takes rather than having to learn once they left school without
right.
The proper...
Right, a combination of both, you know. At least you should have the basic skills, you know, delivered to you through the formal education system.
Right.
And then you can get some practical experience. But we can't just be training, you know, everybody to be a doctor, engineer, lawyer. I mean, yeah, accounting is good because that serves the development of business very well.
Yes.
But there's some such a thing as that is called entrepreneurship and enterprise development.
Yes.
We need to have more courses oriented towards showing people how to start a business,
yes,
and how to run the business.
Yes, yes, and it's not rocket science. That's the thing.
Not at all. It can be taught because it's being done. Because those countries where people have recognized the need for it, they are doing that.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, great. Well, as I said earlier, we're very pleased to have had you here today, and it's been a very enlightening and interesting conversation. I don't know if there's anybody that you would particularly want to acknowledge, or as we say.
Well, I just want to say thanks to you for the opportunity to share with the listeners in the program, and basically my big up is to, you know, everybody who is listening, and to the global reggae music community.
Yes.
You know, that's a big hi, hello, thanks for the support and encouragement over the years, and you know, looking forward to continuing to work with everybody that I've come to meet.
Yes,
in this, yes, on this journey. Yeah,
yes, yes. Well, I would normally be saying things like I wish you all the best in your future, and you know, to an artist.
I can still say that.
But I get the feeling that you, you're probably going to be a very successful in what you do anyway, because you know, you seem to have a bit of a profile. You know, I've glanced at your page, you have enough friends and enough people are bigging you up, and I guess that reflects in the good work that you're doing.
Well, I just keep trying, you know, and to be honest with you, I'm just having fun.
Right.
Because I'm just doing what pleases my heart.
Yes, yes.
You know, and that's what I just do every day.
Yes.
I don't even see it as work, so to speak. I'm just doing and making a contribution to something that I really am passionate about.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, it shows in the pictures, you know, we see you pictured here and there, and you have that very broad smile on your face, and that says a lot to me, you know, a lucky man who's doing something that he loves.
Thank you.
Okay, well, as I say,
and thanks for having me on the program.
It's been a pleasure. It really has been a pleasure, and you know, it's been a learning experience for many of us here, myself included, and we're very grateful for that.
Thank you.